Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Survivor Specialists, Phil and Blake, are back, and I hit lost connection on my camera immediately upon starting. Blake, you just start talking, man. That was wild. I hit start, and it was just like...
What the heck, Phil?
Dude.
Just start over. Oh, my God. What in the world is going on? Welcome to Digging Deeper, where Phil says, I haven't shown my opinion about anything of this episode. And I need to let you guys know if I think it's just a boring vote out or if it's people that are playing for $1 million and not a million hearts.
I just got to say this right off the bat because that was 50 seconds. That was 3 seconds in. I clicked start stream. As soon as I hit start, it said your camera's been disconnected. So there's a referral link down here that you can click StreamYard. If you too want your camera to just disappear upon 3 seconds of clicking into a stream, sign up for StreamYard.
We love What's StreamYard, right? though. It's Phil that messed up.
What the hell? No, dude. We were sitting here talking. I literally hit start, and it just goes, your camera doesn't work anymore. Anyway.
What are they trying to silence?
I know. That was Survivor Twitter was like, screw this guy. We are not letting him come in and talk about anything. I'm so excited to talk about this episode. Every time you watch an episode of Survivor in a live setting, that episode is going to probably be better than it really is. Just, I'm sure people have.
Oh, is it more fun to watch movies with other people or at your house?
No, I'd rather watch it alone. Honestly, I hate watching movies with people because then they just start looking at their phone. They start talking. I'm like, either I haven't seen this and I want to hear what they're saying, or this is a movie I'm purposely showing you. Please watch it. I meant
going to an actual movie theater to watch Sinners. Like
the last one I saw was Minecraft. It wasn't that good of a I did not see Minecraft in theaters.
Yeah. What did you think of Minecraft? Was it a boring vote out?
Dude, okay. Let me get to this though. Don't distract. Let's keep going through. So it's always gonna be a little bit better. So the energy at the Ron Clark Academy, at the Bryson Wen events, at the finale stuff, whatever the hell you're
palpable.
RHAP, it's always going to be stronger. But this is so funny to me because when we were watching this, I was really enjoying the episode and I thought it was interesting. I was sitting there going, man, is Camilla actually going to go home? And I've been giving credit to the editors over and over again of, I think the editors are doing a very good job of convincing us it's going to be the person that it never actually has a chance of being. I don't think Camilla was ever in danger in this episode, but the editors did a really good job of making us think that she could potentially be in danger. So I thought they created drama out of nothing. That was great, whatever. And then, of course, you know, I got all delusional, holier than thou, all that nonsense last week, which, like, screw you, go home. But I come over to Survivor Twitter, and you would have thought that somebody got murdered on the show. So I'm not going to talk all about Survivor Twitter here. Well, her name was
Chrissy, and she did.
But it was crazy. I was like, wow, okay. So I had a totally different interpretation of how that episode shook out than other people. And again, maybe it was because I was having a good time. I was around people. The energy is palpable. You're hearing the people talk in between commercial breaks and all that stuff. Maybe that's what it was, but I want to address this right off the bat. Okay. I need to address this right off the bat. And this is my take on this whole thing, which by the way, at the top, the name of this episode, Playing for $1 Million, Not Entertainment. That's a loose quote from Mitch. Cause Mitch said, we don't care about what's going on TV. We're playing for $1 million. Good for him. That's how a lot of people are playing. Here's what I want to say. A lot of people are saying that the Survivor, the Strong Five, they're not playing hard. And Chrissy was right. They need to start playing. We need to see overthrowing. Here's my statement. And this is directed at Chrissy, but it's directed at players who go to play in the future, right? Don't start telling people that have outplayed you for 14 days or whatever the hell it is that they need to start playing when you forgot to start playing on day one. Because if you start playing on day one, and you create the alliances you need to create, you don't have to start playing at final 10. you've already played enough to solidify yourself and make the game happen for you. So why would all of these people who are, air quotes, not playing, who have the dominant alliance, want to suddenly start playing, air quotes, your game? Makes no sense. You need to start playing on day one. Start making the alliances right there. You can't then yell at the people who have done the dirty work and gotten their hands involved in everything that they need to start playing the game now and be treated as right. Chrissy should have started playing the game earlier. She starts playing on day one, she wins. And I'm not saying she didn't. Look, her edit was terrible, so we don't actually know what she was doing. But that's my stance on this whole thing at Tribal. And I'm going to get into why advantages are actually ruining gameplay in a second. Like, I'm going to get into that. But if you have an alliance of five or six and there's 10 people left, you've already played. Sorry that it's not going to make for the most compelling TV, but guess what? Some of the best seasons in the history of Survivor, in my opinion, they had a couple boring boots in a row and then had some unbelievable gameplay down the end. Why is Token Chains, which we're doing for the podcast, so good? It's because Jalapau gets destroyed. Why does Vanuatu work? Because Chris gets destroyed and then somehow comes back and wins it. One of our favorite, most underrated seasons, Marquesas. Why does Marquesas work? Well, you have to suffer through some boring boots, but once at final nine, that group of five wakes up and realizes what can happen, the game turns on its head. So you have to allow the things to play out. And I'm sorry, but I have no sympathy for, we got to start playing now, Jeff. It's like, you've been out here 14 days. If you're just deciding to start playing on day 14, that's an L. That's all I can say. And again, I know Chrissy's stuff is being taken out of context, but this is more for the communities, for people who are going to play in the future. And this is for people who are just pissed off at Joe and David and Eva and Kyle. Play the game the way that it's supposed to be played. It doesn't have to be nonsense all the time. So that's how I feel. And I've been sitting on that for 2 days and the extra minute that StreamYard made me wait because this thing couldn't work. So anyway, here we are. Blake, that's what I got. What's up?
Sit on it. I think the one thought process that I saw on Twitter that made me go, oh, that does kind of suck for Chrissy, of what was she swapped into? And her swap tribe was Mitch, Say,
Cedric and Bianca.
Cedric and Bianca. So if you're looking at those people as, here's your people that you're meeting to solidify a in-game alliance with, most of these people are talking about, we met at the swap, we're going all the way. She didn't have a strong purple player to be aligned with. She could have been aligned with Bianca. Is Bianca the head of purple? No. If she had kept Bianca around, does Bianca immediately flip on her and go back to purple? Yes. Mitch is not her strong suit of being friends with from Orange. And then she has Say to try and build less lifelong relationships. So it is like the only thing that I would argue about, you got to start playing from day one, is boy, she had a rough time from her merge, or what are they called? Swap tribes to get some soldiers.
I don't think her swap tribe was that bad, though. And here's what I mean by this. If they just vote out Say, Cedric and Chrissy might both still be in the game. Don't vote out Bianca at that moment. I'm sorry, but you shouldn't have voted Bianca out of the game. If Bianca stays in the game, now you have ins. Bianca wants to work with you. Bianca's going to be loyal. Bianca's desperate because her number one bestie just got sent packing. So Bianca's going to want to play with you. And you don't need to know all of the information there. But now if Bianca does go back to purple, she says, hey, I have a good relationship with Cedric and Chrissy because they decided to work with me. But instead you vote out Bianca, who really shouldn't have gone home. And instead you kept Say, and Chrissy made that move. That was Chrissy's decision to keep Say in the game. So maybe it's not that, you know, maybe, again, she probably is playing from day one. I know everybody comes out and starts playing the game. Nobody sits on their hands on Survivor, even though Stephanie literally did. She didn't sit on her hands. She's still trying to make things happen. But it's like, you made this decision. So if you make bad plays, it's not then everybody else's fault that you made those bad plays. Now, I will say this, in defense of Chrissy, you sit at Tribal Council, and you know you have no shot of surviving that night. you start making them feel like shit about themselves. That is absolutely how you play Survivor. You guys aren't playing hard enough. You're not playing strong enough. You're not doing the things that should be done. You guys are complacent. If you want to win, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Start doing that. That's how you play Survivor. That's what you're supposed to do. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Wink, wink, Survivor Twitter. Because right now, and I threw this out there yesterday, Blake, and I'm going to open this up to you because I know Survivor One World, you said it was top five season for you. So I want to throw this out there for you right now. Blake, just headphones down. He's crying. He's broken inside. If this alliance runs the game, why isn't it being compared to the Kim alliance that absolutely ran One World and demolished everybody else? Why isn't it being compared to that? Why is it being shit on? That's what I want to know. And I understand. I said this last week. I kept saying Survivor fans, Survivor. And that's when somebody said, we're not a monolith. Okay, whatever. Don't care.
I mean, but there's 4 million of us. So we're going to have 4 million opinions.
I'm talking more to like Survivor Twitter in that sphere, because that is ultimately who we end up seeing more as listening to us. Fortunately or unfortunately. But when you say that, And it's, why is that portion of this community so angry with David and all of them when they'd be, everybody hates One World, let's be real, but it's a dominant game. And is that what we're witnessing right now? Are we witnessing a One World level dominating game by One Alliance where even if it's making for not the most exciting TV, we should be giving it mad respect? And instead people have decided not only is it bad TV, this alliance also sucks and they don't know how to play the game. I'd argue they're playing the game as good as you can. They're in a majority alliance at Final Nine. They might not have to flip on it. Guess what, guys? Star's probably going home next week.
How dare you say that?
Sorry.
Take that back. Star is going to win Survivor 40. What is this? 48.
She's the most entertaining person on the season. She's gotten like 14 confessionals and you think she's going to win, Blake? Jesus.
I mean, I'm just praying every day, and I haven't done that in years.
That's why she's not going to win. It's because you keep praying.
There's no answer.
All right, on Good Friday, we make these jokes. Stop it, Blake.
I thought this was bad. Okay, so it's very interesting what you're saying of, well, you guys are wrong. Like, this is the best game. And it's like, I think there's a lot of different layers to watching a show with your homies, watching a show with an audience, watching a show with the Twitter sphere, watching a show with 37 seasons of history where you can look back and go, this is better. Like, mm-hmm. You can look and see the other 14 seasons where it's worse than this season and go, oh, I didn't really like this. It's, how is it presented? How are the winners presented? How are the losers presented? How are the whatever. And like, I think there's enough people that have seen enough seasons where they go, oh, this is Rocky Road. And mm-hmm. I don't like, why are we putting mints in my ice cream? And if you're going to do mint, why is it all, I don't even know what Rocky Road is. Is Rocky Road marshmallow?
It does actually not have mint. I think it has marshmallows. Nuts.
Marshmallows and mints are my least favorite flavor. So I get them mixed up. So marshmallow and mints and ice cream.
Grasshopper is essentially what you're saying.
Yeah. So grasshopper, blah, blah, blah. So I think what I'm trying to get around to is, we know damn well this is not the majority's cup of tea for a season, but it's also these 18 people's story. Mm-hmm. So what is more important to you as a Survivor fan, being right or enjoying the season? And it seems like a lot of people would rather be right and go, I don't know why you guys watched that season. It is so bad. And like, you, that even happens when you're like, oh, I'm doing a rewatch on Twitter for all my friends, and we're about to watch Fiji, or we're about to watch Thailand. We're about to watch what's the other worst season ever? Redemption Island.
Yeah.
And it's One World. Why would you do that? Why would you watch One World? And I probably would say, why would you watch One World? Like, you probably could do a lot of different stuff, but you don't, you haven't heard Jonas's story. Like, he was a cook, but he sucked at cooking. And you're like, okay, I do need to see that. Like, why does Sabrina lose? And you're like, it's actually not even fun to watch. Like, mm-hmm. Why does Sabrina lose? I don't remember.
Yeah. When Troy Zan goes out at what, seventh or eighth place, and you're like, holy shit, that was the last person who had any chance of overthrowing this. My God. Then you're just like, Okay, let's get through it. See, and I think the difference with this season compared to all the ones you mentioned, because all the ones that you mentioned have the same issue that 48 currently has, which is one big dominant alliance. I think what's very interesting about this season compared to those is when you talk about Thailand, you always knew Brian was going to win. When you talk about Fiji, you knew it was earlier Yao Man. You knew everybody else in that alliance had no idea what was going on.
I mean, I feel like you know who's going to win this one, and we're just being a little bit delusional about it.
Who?
If Joe doesn't win this season, I will be extremely surprised with the backup of David. If a month from now you go, I don't think it was easy to call, and I'm telling you on tax day, or what is it, Good Friday?
I hope you realize tax day was 3 days ago, Blake.
Yeah. Oh no.
And Blake, this is Blake's last podcast for tax evasion.
Yeah. I think if I'm telling you on Good Friday, I think it is written in the stars. It's Joe. How does Joe lose?
Kyle's actually the favorite now. I think last episode was a bad one for David, and I'll talk about David's game, but I think Kyle's in the driver's seat right now.
And I don't know how you think that. Maybe you didn't rewatch the episode, because
I did.
Kyle has some really bad moments in this episode where they go, what's wrong with you?
And he goes, the end
but yeah, it's not that bad, Kyle. It's not that bad, Kyle.
But what was the end result?
They could have taken that out. They could have not shown that.
But it worked. So I think they have to keep it in.
Works for what layer of this?
Camilla State.
Work to show him whenever Kyle and Joe are at Final Tribal and Kyle has a moment and loses the game, it's going to be, well, remember back whenever he was confronted with Camilla as a thing, and you're going to go, oh, that was a thing I was supposed to pick up. I don't know anything. I know nothing. I just don't see how Joe loses and how they're going to justify it unless Joe loses at Fire. And he's a freaking Fire captain, bro.
I do not think Joe sits at Final Three. I think that Joe's story, yeah, I'll shake your hand on that, whatever. We just freaking bet.
Let's
whoever loses
bet.
Has to hang out with Will for an hour, just the two of you.
I love that. I did it yesterday, yeah. Even.
So Blake's like, can we please change it? Please, I'll give you $5,000 instead. I don't think that he's going to make it. And I do agree with you. Kyle had some weird moments here. And I thought one of Kyle's biggest mistakes in this episode, And I saw this, I don't remember if it was on Twitter, if it was a comment on the podcast you did with Will, whatever it was, but somebody said, why does David get to have Mary, but Kyle doesn't get to have Camilla? And the problem was, David was telling everybody that he had Mary. He was very open about, I want to keep Mary, I want her in the alliance. Kyle's not telling anybody about how close he is with Camilla. So when he's defending her and they're like, what's the deal here? They don't see that he's as close with Camilla as Joe is with Eva, as David is with Mary, and as I don't even care. But like, they're not telling you that side of things. Kyle's not telling them that side of things. So when they're hearing him defend Camilla so much, they're going, but I thought we had the strong five and Mary's sitting in all of our conversations. So Kyle, somebody's got to go. Why are you so worried about it being Camilla? We should be happy to get rid of Camilla because Camilla's a insane strategist. So that's where the problem with that is. Kyle keeping his relationship secret has both been the biggest positive and the biggest negative of his game. And I do think that what we saw in this last episode, that was him tripping over his words big time. And David came at him right. And I know nobody wants to give David credit for anything right now because he's the big bad man. He's scary. Nobody likes him, whatever. The thing is, David pinpointed exactly what Kyle was doing in that moment. That confessional immediately after interrogating Kyle on the beach was 1000% what was actually happening. That is a social player right there who is picking up on somebody in my alliance doesn't have me as their best interest. They have something else going on that they're not telling us all
there's
about.
There's six of you. Like,
yeah, but like, Shaheen and Mary and Joe and Eva aren't doing that. Kyle is. So David picked up on that. That's good gameplay. Nobody wants to give David credit for good gameplay, but it's good gameplay.
And there's a couple of things I want to get to. Like, if it's good gameplay, why are you letting Kyle get away with it? Are we targeting Kyle? Are we going, hey, Joe, guess what? We were probably locked into three, but now we're even more so. I kind of want Kyle Guyon at six. I don't know if we're going to see those conversations next week. I don't know if it's going to be coming to a head of like I, who wins over Kyle and David in their there's not a machismo off. But one other thought experiment I want to have. They didn't have podcasts back when Survivor Thailand was on. But if you had the Survivor specialists and Thailand was airing live, do you think you'd go, I don't really know who's going to win? Like, Helen could vote out Brian at the end. She has it in her.
Brian's going to win that whole
thing. Jan was going to do this. And I'm like, which one of these people do you think has it in them to vote out Joe or Eva right now if they're not doing it at 12, if they're not doing it at 10? Like, they only have, like, two more chances.
I think this is the truth here. I think Joe and Eva are the best shields. They talked about shields in this last episode. I think Joe and Eva are fantastic shields. Why? Because you know they're a pair. You know they're never going to vote for each other. You know Eva has an idol. But you also know that every other person in this game knows they can't beat either one of them at the end. So you go to Final Nine, and you go and you vote Star out of the game. Star's now gone. Now you have all eight of these people left who are, we have the strong five, but everybody's definition of who kind of fits into that next spot is different. And now people start to think about, what do we want to do? Mitch, not really in with anybody, but maybe it'd be worth working with Mitch to go a little bit further in this game. Shaheen could potentially try to pull in Mitch. We could see something like that. Kyle and Camilla, we already know is a thing. David and Mary, we know is a thing. All of a sudden, you're going to start to see people, I think, open up a little bit and start to say, Joe and Eva cannot sit next to us at Final Three, or we 100% lose this game. You do not win against either one of them. And that is so known. But why get rid of Joe? And here we go. Let me go to my next talking point, because I think this is huge. Advantages are making people play safe. Why would you get rid of Joe or Eva at 10 or 9 when you have a strong five? You have a strong five. Everybody knows that there's other members who are on the outskirts of that, right? Mary, Camilla, whatever. But right now you have a strong five, and you are playing New Era Survivor, where New Era Survivor says you were the first four people out of this challenge. Now you have to go play Mario Party and figure out who's going to lose their vote. Oh, Star, you went there with three people who don't want to work with you. There goes your vote. Bye-bye. Now there's only 9 votes at Final 10. Well, who knows? At Final 9, it might be, well, you know, last one to take an aqua dump loses their vote. And you're like, oh God, I shouldn't have won that challenge. Damn. And it's like, you don't
have nothing left to aqua dump.
So if you only have a 5-person alliance, you can't take risks at 10 or 9. You have to wait until you're down to 8. And I was talking to you on the phone about this yesterday. You think about in Survivor Borneo, we get the paganging, right? And that's why it's now become synonymous with a tribe getting decimated, a paganging. But in season 2, we don't get a paganging. Nothing that crazy happens in Australia. But at Final 8, Colby and Tina can say, you know what? Let's team up with Roger and Elizabeth, and let's vote Jerry out of the game because we don't like her, and we know that we can get rid of her and still keep the numbers. So now you can keep the numbers. But in this, because you know that everybody's gonna have a vote, there's not gonna be crazy idols, whatever. In this new version of Survivor, you don't know if you're gonna be split up again. You don't know if half of your tribe is gonna go somewhere else. You don't know if there's gonna be a time where only three people are gonna be eligible to be voted out. You have no idea what's going to take place. So with all of the advantages and crazy gameplay, or with all the advantages that Jeff is instituting into this game that he says makes the game better, he's actually causing players to play more conservatively. And I'm not saying that the way that this Strong Alliance is playing is bad. I think the way that Strong Alliance is playing is pretty much how Survivor was designed to be played. But you can't take and make a move on Joe or Eva, try to blindside Eva with her idol in her pocket at Final 10 because you only have a 5-person alliance. You can't even do it at Final 9 because then you're pissing off Joe and you don't know who's going to get votes. You might not be able to make this move till 7. And if you want to complain and say these guys are making the game boring, these players are making the game boring, it's not the players. It's the game, the way it's designed, that is making it boring. Because why? There is no reward to taking a chance this early in the game when you don't know if you're going to have votes or not throughout the rest of it. So I think that we're going to watch two. I think we're going to watch Star and Mitch go home the next two episodes, and then we're going to start to see people getting blindsided. I don't think Joe or Eva make the final three. At this point, I think we might see a David, Shaheen, and Kyle final three, where Kyle beats Shaheen and David probably gets one vote or zero votes. We know he's not getting Chrissy's vote, but that's my take right now.
All right. That is Digging Deeper with Phil and Blake.
That's a pretty good, I think that's, look, I got Zach over here saying W take. I got Matthew C saying, holy W, Phil. I think that's a pretty good read on what's taking place. Do you disagree with it?
I wish Jeff Probst was watching. He would be W taking as well, probably.
Well, he called me before. He was like, yeah, I'm going to listen today. And I was
Phil
like,
is goat is what, yeah, I would say. Oh, shoot. Somebody.
Am I the greatest of all time, or am I?
No, somebody from The Simpsons already said that. My bad.
Yeah. This is the real Mo. The real one.
That's so funny. I don't know what I'm saying without, it's not offensive. I think we're in a spot where it is. Somebody was like, I think a week ago, I asked this question to Will. Let me get it all out. You guys wanted Say to stick around because it's easier to do your job. And it's like, okay, this is fun. This isn't job, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, like, I don't say story ended, whatever. But like, I do think right now it is. Not the whole lipstick on a pig thing, because that's, we need a new saying for that. Like, we're painting stripes on a horse of like, look at this cool zebra season, and it's like, no, it's a horse that didn't win anything. But like, are we in the middle of Survivor Thailand trying to make it seem super interesting? And I freaking hope so, Phil. I freaking hope what you're saying is true. And I think I said this right back to you on the phone. So we're just having the same conversation again of, do I trust that when this Survivor Strong Five, they need an alliance name. I don't know. That's another thing where it's like, clearly nobody on that alliance is creative of,
is that
like,
good for you? The milkman?
However they not call themselves Milkman and the Mommies or whatever, but like, it's
Milkman and the Mommies.
Shout outs to all the creative people coming up with alliance names,
dude. But you might have to get out of creative after that. No.
I'm spending 0.3 seconds into it. So what I'm trying to say is, if the Strong Alliance makes it to five, or it's gonna be brutal, somebody's getting backstabbed at seven or six, I hope the editors can nail it. Or what I'm actually saying is, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think the Strong Alliance will be at five, and then it'll be a gargantuan. You remember that challenge where Joe versus David on the arm thing, and it lasted forever, and it was a record? We're going to do that again at five, and it's going to decide who stays between this strong guy and this strong guy. But we did never go after them. So, oh, crap. Eva still has her idol and the advantage that nobody knows about. So whatever that is going to be pivotal. They're for sure going to get Eva and Joe out at five. And then, they didn't know about the alliance, and they didn't know about the thing in the background. So now both Joe and Eva are in the final four. And now one of them is guaranteed to make it. Eva goes home at fire because Joe is a fire captain, knocks out Eva, and then Joe, in a brutal, like, I'm so sad I knocked out my best friend in fire. I don't know if I'm ever going to get over this. I'm going to use that strength and my friend, and I'm going to tell you my story, and I'm going to obliterate everyone at Final Tribal. And we're going to go, how did nobody get Joe out at 12? I guess he was immune. At 10, at 9, at 8, at 7.
Let me ask you this. I'm asking you this very seriously.
Great.
What you're watching right now, we've watched eight episodes. True. You genuinely think this is as bad as like a Thailand or Redemption Island or One World? Like, and I know that we're doing a podcast. I'm asking you this sincerely. We just watched Thailand not too long ago. Are you genuinely considering this season to be that bad? And if so, what is it about it? Is it just that it's basic boots? Or is it you don't like the cast? Like, what is it? Like, what is not working for you?
Here is what is not working for me. We have 90-minute episodes. I've heard from Star 4 times in the last 2 times. And, like, everything she says is the most interesting thing ever. I don't know how anyone interacts with Star. I don't know if everyone goes, Star's kind of a positive word. Star's kind of negative word. Star's kind of mid word. And that's why we're treating her like this. Star's kind of positive word. And that's why we love to keep her. I don't know Star's opinion of a lot of stuff. I don't know. Mitch literally said, I've been playing a scared game. It's time for me to turn it around this episode. That went nowhere. I think what I am stressed out about for my Survivor watching career is, oh, there's a lot of stagnant gameplay because they don't have time to let they're stamping the flowers down every time and go, these flowers aren't growing. Well, you're not giving them 3 days to grow anymore. But even Shaheen is, okay, we're going to go down this path. So here we go. Shaheen is like, hey, I thought we'd have a bit of a break today to kind of think about stuff. Oh, we just woke up. We just all sat on this log. We're talking about one funny thing. 7 seconds later, Chrissy walks in and goes, guys, challenge, pair up immediately. And then our one fun thing gets immediately replaced by, and the game was right back on because this game is relentless. And if the game is relentless, you're more likely to go, I'm going to hug my two allies, Phil and McKenna, and I'm not going to let them go anywhere. If Phil and McKenna aren't even talking to Star, there's no way. Like, I'm sure my friend Rob Mariano, I don't know if you ever heard of him, Boston Rob, I'm sure he would thrive in a new era 26-day season. I'm sure he is hoping he's on 50, because if you only have 26 days and you have somebody like Boston Rob being super charismatic, and your food is not quite there, hey, stick with me. I'll get you through the next 3 eliminations. And then by then you're like, okay, Rob, thanks for doing everything. I have your back. This is getting meandering, blah, blah, blah.
Here, you see here, and remember, these votes are happening day after day. There's no time to plot a blindside.
Correct. So that's where I'm going in my mind of, is this as bad as these bad seasons? I don't want to say that, because obviously these people can be aware of this. And what did we just say when we started was, Mitch is, I'm playing for $1 million. I'm not playing for entertainment. Well, that's not how Survivor has made its way into being a pillar of culture and a pillar of reality TV.
That's not Mitch's problem.
It's not Mitch's problem. Sure. It's a problem for Jeff Probst. It's a problem for the casting department. It's a problem for Matt Van W. It's a problem for Dalton Ross. It's a problem for Phil Wood of, like, hey, if we put a bunch of people on that don't think that there's a obligation to kind of have a bit of fun with it, and we don't give them room to have the flowers grow, we're all going to go, I don't really have a strong opinion about 48, because I didn't really, what are we doing with these 90-minute episodes if we're not seeing some of this stuff? And we already talked about this on the actual recap of, like, do we need a 32-minute challenge?
Pixelated, is it? This is Blake playing Survivor. This is our first picture, 33 minutes in. That's Banu. That's Blake, how he would play. It's not about winning the money. It's about winning 1 million hearts, as Matthew C says.
No, no, no. And like, what I'm saying as the final nail in this coffin is, I'm watching Survivor, and you've been in the entertainment industry before. It is too many seasons now in a row where I can see production cutting corners, and like, do you think there's going to be a super cool challenge the next day, or it's going to be the same stuff they've done in the past because they only had 5 minutes of turnaround? And like, why are they not letting the handholds on the taco tower be big enough to put your foot in? They need you to fall off in the next 36 minutes so we can all go vote someone out, because our turnaround is literally, we only have We are going to go home. You're going to get a, oh, congrats on winning, Eva. And Eva's going to go, oh, my stomach. And then we got to get to vote out. And then we're going to do this all again tomorrow. And like, I would be pissed if I've been working on Survivor my entire life and they cut my job in a third. And then they were like, you're going to work twice as hard, no days off. And even if they do are like, oh, let's have an A squad and a B squad and you alternate, then you only get 13 days of work instead of 20. Like, it's like, what are we doing? And I'm tired of it, Jeff. Like, yeah, let's go back and spend some CBS money. CBS is not poor. Why would you make your flagship show worse? And it's been a solid 4 years of these symptoms. If we don't bump up it, like, you have 50, make 50 the best season of the last 30, and it's all resolved, and we can go back to 51 is, let's just copy what 50 did, because clearly it was amazing. We can have all-stars again for 52 of new era all-stars. We're back to 36 days, and everyone's had 39 days, and we're having a blast. I can't even remember 39 because it's been so long. But like, I'm talking a lot. Here we go. The we're watching Token Chains. Spoiler alert. Holy crap. When you have more complications or like more restrictions, you're more creative. You don't, Jerry from Token Chains, we didn't go deep into like, what's his family life like? What was his life in the military? I think in the new era, 90 minutes.
Shade and beans.
The new era, 90 minutes, we would know all this stuff. There would be a picture of his like military career, but it's very quickly like, this is what's going to matter to Jerry. Whenever he's talking to people, this is why he's probably going to act this way. It was more show, don't tell. That's the number one thing. Let's show, don't tell some. And now the other layer of this is if we're going to be, we're not playing for $1 million. We're playing for $1 million, not entertainment. If everyone takes that viewpoint, we need someone like Say. Like, why did Say get 57 confessionals? It's because she's one of the only people who's on this side of, I'm a Survivor player that's playing for fun and entertainment. And like, we definitely need some injection of that into this cast.
So I agree with a lot of what you're saying there. I really do. And I have to correct you on the Say number there, because she doesn't need those extra four confessionals to help her any. She's got plenty of self-confidence. She doesn't need those extra four confessionals. But I agree with you 100% on the cutting corners. I think it's very noticeable in certain elements of the game. And I think that is a bummer. We would like to watch all 12 people stand on a pole and do this challenge. This is one of my favorite challenges. It's a classic. It's not the most iconic in the history of the show, no matter how much Jeff wants to. That's hands on an idol. But you can have this challenge in a little bit harder than what Parvati was doing, but it should be more of like the season 26 Game Changers-esque version, whichever one it was where Andrea almost died. It should be that version, not, okay, David literally can never win this challenge because David can not put his foot in there and you can't hold up 240 pounds of body weight if he weighs 240. I have no idea. But I want you to answer this with a yes or no. I know you can't do that. So that's what I want. No open-ended yes or no. This is like whatever season that was where it's answer with one word and the person does more and it's like, you don't get my vote now. Yes or no.
Is that Albert Destrade, right?
I think it was, yeah. Yes or no.
That's specialist right there, baby.
Do you truly think that this season is as bad as Thailand, One World, Redemption Island right now?
I don't get any disclaimers at all.
Yes or no? You already ruined it. Yes or no?
Because you already just gave us one more question. Say it one more time so we can get the cadence right.
And I'm going to throw season 41 in too because I hate 41. Season 41, Thailand, One World, Redemption Island. Is this season at this point as bad as all of those in your opinion?
No.
Okay. And the reason I ask you that is because I think that's what my biggest issue with the overreaction to this season has been. Is this the best season of the new era? No. It's not. It could become a very good season. We saw season 46 start off as one of the worst seasons ever. Those first four episodes were torture. And then it becomes amazing. And that post-merge is one of the most fun post-merges you'll ever have. Is this better than 47 as of now? No. Is it better than 46 as of now? At this point, these seasons are pretty even, in my opinion. Although I guess we had just seen, was Hunter 9? Whatever it was, it was like Soda, Tevin. Soda and Tevin aren't exciting boots. Like, I'm sorry, but up until Final 9, there's nothing going on in 46.
You can 40, cancel Christmas, Phil. Like
45. No, but hear me out. 45, very good. I don't really like 44. Everybody knows I don't like 41. I think 42 is whatever. I love 43. James Jones getting ripped over on the internet because he
I wish there was some words that we could describe these seasons besides just numbers, man. It's super hard to remember.
But so here's my reason for saying this. There's nothing inherently bad about this season right now. It's not a great season of Survivor up to this point, but it's not a bad season of Survivor. It's just a season of Survivor. There have been fun moments. There have been more character moments. There's been exciting challenge things. There's been one moment that universally made everybody except for maybe Kobe Archer cry. You have all of these things that have taken place that, well, I'm
Did
sorry.
Kobe Archer come out and say, I hate this?
Yeah, he was talking about how he didn't like the moment because Jeff inserted himself into it. It was that, but you know what I'm saying.
Jeff haters rise up, I guess.
Yeah, Jeff haters rise up on that one, but I just have to throw in Kobe. But so you had that moment. You have an alliance that is dominating, and most of the time when an alliance dominates, there is an overthrow of that alliance or the person at the head of that alliance doesn't win. I feel like we've had a lot of drama, even though it's been a pagonging. To me, this is like mid-tier. And I just think the reaction is so negative because the people that are in control right now are these big macho, which I always love that Camilla is just getting thrown in here. I mean, Camilla, the biggest thing about her was her hood in the last episode. My God, like she's got the cone head thing going on. But like when I watch this season, that's why people are so mad. And Daryl Seymour said it earlier. Where is it? I was getting tired of the game bot play in the past seasons. This is refreshing. And this is my favorite season since Winners at War. This season's not disliked like the internet is making it feel like it is. I do think that we have a way of getting too caught up in what Survivor Twitter, what Survivor Reddit, what Survivor Instagram, what Survivor TikTok are saying, which at the end of the day, I've said this on this podcast. I've said this on the Patreon. I've said this everywhere. I could put out a tweet that says, this man has to go, and put a picture of David shirtless at the Ron Clark event, and I would get 2,000 retweets, 10,000 likes. Yes, King. Oh, my God. I know how to play that stupid game, but I like David. I like him on the show. He's so entertaining. And at the event, I can tell you one thing. Maybe there's a couple people from his cast who don't like him. I don't know. But when he comes walking down the stairs at the Ron Clark event, it sure seemed like his entire cast liked him. And it also sure seemed like a lot of the fans liked him who were at that event. That's all I'm going to say. So I do think that we have a way of getting too caught up in it. And when David is sitting there saying to Chrissy, yelling at Chrissy, maybe based on exit press, but when he is saying to Chrissy, are you enough is enough. The big guys have said enough is enough. And the entire internet explodes on this man and says, oh, what did he not watch the 30s? We had six men win in a row. Everybody's argument ends at Winners at War. So David's argument makes 100% sense. This guy has admitted he's only watched the new era seasons. So from 41 to 47, all he has seen is the big guys be used as shields and get cut out. And right. He's right. And that's so, what's pissing everybody off is the guy that they want to think is the dunce meathead, Gaston, is actually right. That was supposed to be your cue, Blake. Come on.
Here's the Gaston photo. It's interesting. We're getting there. We're saying some stuff. There's an analogy I want to do real quick. It's the Rivals Week for college football. You're playing your number one rival. Your quarterback, say, has been killing it in the first half. Doesn't not really good at throwing the deep ball. Say tweaks her ankle and goes out. You guys are up two touchdowns, and you still have to play the second half against your rival. and you're like, who's the quarterback we're going to put in for say, and well, we've been throwing the ball a little bit, but now when we put in a new quarterback, who's going to be the new personality? We can't run the ball. So now our survivor offense is so one-dimensional that if the audience doesn't like the one-dimensional, that there's no more to root for. There's no, okay, the other team scored a bit. What are we going to do to, we don't have anything in the tank left.
Can I argue while you're mid-analogy? I want to not even argue. I just want to ask you something while you're mid-analogy. It's one-dimensional. Okay. But hasn't every other season been one-dimensional on the strategist? Every other season in the new era has been one-dimensional on strategists.
And it's basically, what would you rather watch, Georgia Tech or the spread offense? And America has told you, I want to watch spread offense.
What's the most watched game in college football other than the playoffs?
Are you about to say Georgia Tech or something? No, Army-Navy?
Army-Navy. What do they run? The triple option.
So is this the one Army-Navy season?
And is that such a bad
thing
to
throw in there? There's other people in your life that have never watched an Army-Navy game on purpose. Because why would I? They're not ranked. This isn't something I need to care about for my polls. I'm a poll guy. I'm a computer guy. So that's where I'm thinking this is like the writing's on the wall. My quarterback is injured. We don't have a good backup. Who's going to take us home and nail the rest of the season? That I need a big touchdown pass for 45 yards to have a successful finale. And nobody can throw the ball more than 20 yards.
I get that.
In Survivor entertainment wise.
I think what this season is doing right now is it is the online community of Survivor hates this version of Survivor. Hates it. Absolutely hates it. Because at the end of the day, a lot of these people became fans of Survivor because they want to see the big moves. They like the Parvati double idol play and heroes, villains, all of that stuff. You know, those are the moments that people want. But I am telling you, the people who are not super active on social media, there is a large portion of those people who are enjoying this season. And I know that because I talk to a lot of people who don't have social media who watch the seasons. That doesn't mean that this is like the best thing they've ever seen. But the reason why Jonathan Young's name keeps coming up for Survivor 50 isn't because of Survivor Twitter and Survivor Reddit and because of podcasters like us. It's because he's unbelievably popular in the community at large and the people that Jeff's going to bump into on the street. When Jeff's talking to his friends who all of their tweets are so calculated and probably put out by their assistant, Jeff's friends are going, I really like that Jonathan guy. That was fun watching. And so for me, I do think that this season is a bad one here. But if you were to ask people off the street, I do think a lot of them are enjoying the season a lot more than we are. And obviously we don't hear them, but the numbers aren't dropping right now. The numbers have dropped in seasons before with Survivor.
I mean, let's keep an eye on that for next week.
But they're not dropping because people like, no, what I think it is though, most people who aren't like 18 to 30 on social media love Joe and Eva. They love the David character. They love Kyle. They love Shaheen. They've been dying to see this because they're tired of watching the D's and Kenzie's and Rachel's dominate the game. And I know I just listed off three small female winners, but that's the point of the point I'm making is there's a lot of people who are tired of watching that type of gameplay. In the new era, since Tony won Winners at War, we have not seen this type of big, strong, massive player, physical threat win the game. There's not been a single one. And yes, I know Rachel went on an immunity run, but nobody looked at Rachel and said, oh shit, she's going to be dangerous from a challenge perspective. We don't see these types of players do it in the new era. And that's why I think also the social media world is losing their minds right now.
Okay. Two things. Thank you. Worth Playing For giving us $10,000.
I'm going to get the Worth Playing For in a second.
Oh, okay.
Views have gone up week by week so far.
does that mean things are good or we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. First thing, what do we know about Shaheen over the last week and a half?
That he's like, done a lot, that everything he said has been wrong on this season. He admits that in the last episode. I've been wrong about almost everything this season.
And that's a show don't tell, in my opinion.
I agree.
I don't think Shaheen is going to win. And I wanted one or two more things from Shaheen. I don't know if it was like, oh, we lost that memory card today. It literally feels like there's a missing. If somebody got fired because they spilled pina colada on the memory card for this episode, I wouldn't be surprised. But we can't have that. Like, we need Star's opinion, Shaheen's opinion about what's going on. We need Mitch. What is going on with Mitch? Am I craving those? No, but they are necessary to the overall thought, blah, blah, blah. Then finally, I do think it's worth saying every time, why was David's thing, his big old, here's what I'm saying at this. You guys band together on gender stuff all the time. It looks like there's a moment where he almost says something else. We're not putting words in his mouth.
Yeah, but I'm not buying into that.
When somebody is, David is the most strongest dude. He's one of the hottest dudes. He's such a dominant, like, every attribute about David on paper is the dominant part of what a Survivor player, like, are there more white men that have won Survivor than any other thing? We're still in that. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard to have somebody go, I'm the dominant gender. I'm the dominant race. I'm the dominant sexuality. I'm the dominant play style. I'm the dominant, like, way of how to go through this game. And it's hard because people don't value that anymore and are targeting people. And it's time to reestablish the dominance. Like, you wouldn't root for that in a lot of these games. You'd be like,
no, I get that.
Like, the overdog is not, I'm going to rush. It's, are you a Yankees, Lakers, Cowboys fan? Like,
yeah, that was the 90s. It was, yeah, what was it? It was Bulls, or yeah, Yankees, Lakers, Cowboys. And yeah, that was the 90. And then they also root for Alabama or something. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say David can't go on the show and even try to win. And I'm not saying that David has to think about every single person's viewpoint as he's saying this stuff, but David can say that opinion. And when people go, ooh, gross, like, that's where you're coming from of like, I need this strong alliance because I'm so unfairly targeted at this part of the game, because no, all the women who aren't super strong go home in the first part of the game, traditionally in Survivor, and then it swings back around, knocking out the strong dudes. And if you don't want to be seen as a strong dude, you can't be doing all the, like, look how strong I am.
His argument was, and he said it, it's Eva wins immunity, and now it's not like she's up to be voted out of the game. And I think that's what's interesting about this alliance is Mary and Eva are in it as far as David is concerned. So you have an Asian woman and a woman and a white woman who are also in this alliance. And, like, look, I'm not saying anything wrong here. And David, I don't think, said anything wrong there. But here's the fact of the new era. There's been one white guy who has won in the new era. That's 7 seasons, one.
Right.
Okay. So if David feels that white guys aren't getting a fair shake in the new era, it's kind of hard to argue with him on that front. And I know if Survivor Twitter got a hold of that soundbite, holy shit, goodbye, sayonara, whatever. But it's kind of the truth here. And that one white guy who won was Gabler, who everybody thought was a goat when they took him to the end. They didn't actually think he was going to win. So that's what my point is. And I also think what's, you know, and I understand you're pulling that argument from what you're seeing on the internet and then just kind of like where it seems like people are taking that. Who's the other white guy in his alliance?
Right.
That, and that's where it's like David's getting all the heat for this, but it's like people seem more worried about Joe or Eva winning at this point. So that's where, like, I feel like it's the forced stuff. And I don't know. Maybe if I paid somebody, if I went behind a paywall and I listened to all of the dirt on David's life, maybe then I would know everything, right? But I'm not a scumbag, so I don't do that, and I don't make that stuff. Right. But maybe then I would know everything.
So let me do like three more sentences about how I specifically feel about David. This is all my viewpoint, and this is all me all the time. All me all the time. He's great. He seems like a fantastic person to be on a tribe with. Of he isn't going to backstab you. It seems, oh wait, he didn't even get his torch till merge started. And when you do that, you don't really know how to vote people out the right way, or maybe you're going to rub people the wrong way, or he didn't get to say this opinion about this stuff of like, I could have voted out Chrissy literally day one and been like, sorry, you're too weak. Or I could vote out Camilla and go, sorry, you're too weak. And now I have to vote out Chrissy and Camilla, not because they're weak, because that's why people would keep them in the game. I need to figure out other things to go after them for. Mm-hmm. And I was saying out loud of my first point on the recap was, whenever you have strong alliance people, strong dudes, let's just do physical strength. Maybe they're mental, maybe they're strategic. I'm not saying it's lacking, but the people who are the strongest people who spend the most time in gyms, some of them also have master's degree, but some of them don't. And so it's like, is this going to be a layer of how he loses? Of even though your alliance is so strong and you're winning every challenge, people just don't overall like you. Mm-hmm. And like, but is it fun to be in that moment and watch David go through this? Yes.
Yeah.
Until he also goes, it's super hard being this strong. It's super hard being this liked. It's super hard
in Survivor. It's
such a dominant performance that it sucks. I could never do the feats that David is doing. So by David being like, you should feel bad for me in this moment, or look, think about my perspective, I'm like, ooh, this is not, I don't want to do another analogy, but it does feel like,
yes, you do.
It'd be like somebody who's making $600,000 a year is like, actually, when you have that kind of money, you just have so many more problems. It's not worth it. I wouldn't, if I could go back, I would only make 50 grand a year. It'd be like, you make 12 times more money than I do. What are you talking about? You have more problems.
I'm proud of you on that math there. No, I hear what you're saying. And but this is the last thing I want to say on this, and I want to put Worth Playing For Super Chat up. I rewatched today. The entire time David is saying everything he's saying to Chrissy, Camilla's like, you know, bad jury management. Joe is sitting there going, Joe's neck is moving up and down so fast. And I think that's the problem right now. If Joe ends up on the jury and Eva's not sitting at final three, he's probably going to vote for David. Like, and I think that's what people are missing. Yeah, sure. Camilla and Chrissy might not vote for David, but there are people on that tribe who will vote for David, depending on how much he blows up. But even like the crash out we were going to get from the preview ended up being David just essentially saying, I don't want to do that. And then Camilla going, he's the biggest idiot. That's a great soundbite. Of course you're going to put that on. So let's throw up Worth Playing For here. Thank you for the super chat. No issues on my end with the strategy this season. My issue is the terrible game format, which prevents the game from really starting until final 10, only gives us 6 regular votes. I do agree with that. I think that that's been a big issue here. And that's what I was kind of talking about earlier on in this episode of the advantages and stuff are actually making people play safe. We talked about that last week at final 12. You're just trying to survive one more tribal council so you can ensure you make the jury. And so I agree, like, we don't have a vote here. Who knows if at final 9 we're even gonna have a vote. We might have no normal vote at final 9.
I just saw that picture is literally worth playing for. Mm-hmm. Like, that's I'm
a lot
so,
of layers there.
I'm enthralled by people's avatar photos today. I think that's a dying art from Survivor sucks of picking which gif you want or which whatever. I'm agreeing with you. Let me go back to like, I do agree. What's your favorite split tribal vote? It's like none of them. What's your favorite vote where 5 people lost their vote and only 4 people? None of them. I think the easiest way to say it was somebody going on a game that survives on, or that thrives on the variables. Why are you taking some variables away? And I was like, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. We talked for an hour. How do you feel? How do you feel? I do want to say, when you're going, you dead to rights me, yes or no. I said, no, this is not as bad as those.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's the disclaimer. Most of those that you mentioned have a awful end game, and yeah, we're not at the end game.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed.
I mean, at this point, I was going through the other 40 seasons, though, and it's like, it's more entertaining than a lot of the 40s, too. And really, like, 41 was actually probably okay up to this point. And this is when 41 started to fall apart. But no, because that was a little bit earlier because of the stupid hourglass twist. But still, I first of all, Matthew C. wants to know, how's his avatar?
Purple M?
It's actually,
is that a spoiler? M.
I just think...
I miss Cedric, too. Like, Cedric was at least there was one other person who's like, we're going to get his thoughts. And like, yeah, he's worked his way out of crazy scenarios. The fact that Cedric immediately got knocked out kind of sucks right there.
So if I were to tell you right now, so here's why I think Star goes next week. And I'm going to look strictly at confessional counts. And then I'm going to quiz you. Okay. We're going to quiz. This is going to be a fun part of the game. Blake's going to get quizzed, and you know, he loves being put on the spot, not having the answers. So Chrissy had 12 confessionals. Charity 14, Cedric 19, Bianca 19, Thomas 19, Justin 13, Kevin 16, Stephanie 6, and then Say obviously with her 53, whopping crazy. Star has 15. Every other person has at least 24. Who do you think? There's two people tied ahead of Star with 24. Who do you think those two people are?
I'm going to guess Mitch.
Okay.
And then, is it Camilla?
Okay. So that's your guess. Mitch and Camilla.
Sure.
Okay. After that, everybody else has either 30 or 31, except for the person who has the most. And that person has 40. Okay. So you're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people have 30 or 31 confessionals. One person has 40, two have 24, and then they're Star. It's actually a very evenly edited season right now. Who do you think, other than Say, who do you think is the person with the most?
Shaheen.
Okay. You ready for this? Because I think you're going to be genuinely surprised. So I'm just going to reveal this to you now. The people tied with 24, so the second fewest left in the game, Mary and Joe.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you get in your 30, 31. Eva has 30. Shaheen has 30. Mitch has 31. Camilla has 31, and David has 31. And that leaves Kyle right now as the top person. And the reason I point that out is you're not the only one saying it seems very obvious Joe is going to win. And I already said I'm not counting Joe's zero confessional episode for anything this season, because that was the episode where he went over and comforted Eva. He was the star of that episode other than Eva, and he got no confessionals. That was just a fluke type situation. So I'm not counting that. However, I feel that right now, this is one of the most wide open seasons we have had. And I just think people are a little scared to go along for the ride right now. Is Star probably going to go home next week? Yes. Yes, like that is probably going to happen. They were actively trying to make sure she lost her vote. She has no allies right now. She gave her idol to Eva. She has no numbers. She doesn't fit in with anybody. She's probably done. I get that. But beyond Star, all of a sudden, Mitch with 31 confessionals out of nowhere? I think this is wide open. And I just think people are so quick to say, this stinks. And there's my holier than thou, whoever it was, user RJK426, if that even is your name. Come and get me. I don't care. Stop reading comments because y'all are too negative. I'm trying to have fun with season 48. And I don't think this season is as unfun as so many people want to pretend it is. And I know it's not our cup of tea, but I truly do wonder, Blake, when we're doing Every Season Matters and we get to season 48 and we're both pushing 50 and we get there, will it actually be refreshing in the moment when we get to it to have a season like this after we've had so many similar seasons in a row? It might be. And also, Camilla and Kyle could come out next week and be like, hey, Mitch, let's get together. Let's blindside Eva. Star, you want to do that? Okay, let's make it happen. That could happen next week. We don't know that it's not. So I just think we're jumping to conclusions here. And it's the same thing that I had to read about the entire time on finale night for season 43 of Cassidy, the worst edited female winner. Yet again, Survivor can't edit a female winner, blah, blah, blah. Well, you can't edit a female winner if the female doesn't win. So I just wanted to throw all that out there and just say, remember, like, there's a lot of game left. We have five episodes left. There's a lot of time. And yes, we are probably coming in next week on Thursday where I'm going to have to again be like, holy shit, Survivor Twitter is insufferable. But just watch the season, because Vanuatu looked like it was going to be the most dog shit season ever. And now it's probably in my top five. Like, just watch the season. Just watch the season.
We have, where's the Leanne Slaby boot? And I'm in. If the
it's gonna be when Joe goes home and you go,
if there is no Leanne Slaby boat, then I'll go,
ooh. Then this is the bottom tier season of Survivor. Yeah. If this is a steamroll, steamrolls aren't fun, but you can't have both things. You can't have it be a steamroll and boring, and then also say that the person who dominates that game and wins it isn't great. Brian, Kim, two of the greatest winners of all time. They dominated their games and made for really boring seasons. Boston Rob, probably the most dominant winning game of all time. He also played against people who had no idea how to play Survivor, and they set it up for him, essentially. But he still won, and he still dominated. That I think is what makes boring TV. But if this happens, you can't be like, oh, well, Kyle won, and I don't like Kyle.
Here's one layer of what you just said that I'm kind of agreeing with in a different way. It feels like in the new era, we don't have people that are dumb and bad at Survivor, because it's been, and those people were doing something for the first time ever. When you're on when you're on Thailand, you don't know how to do everything. Like, it's not a, they're stupid and dumb. There's just no experience. So also in One World, there's some people on that, or One World and Redemption Island. Both of those have people on the season who are actively bad at playing Survivor.
Oh yeah.
Who are actively like, I could also win against that cast, because it feels like literally three of them know what's going on and most of them are eliminated. And it's like, oh, okay.
We are talking about Jay Byers. Yes.
Yeah. Jesus. yeah. Bring back Jay Byers for 50. Everybody wants that. So it doesn't feel like there's anybody who's absolutely awful at Survivor currently on the season, which I think is almost more maddening when you're like, why are you not doing something? But also seeing somebody like Mitch on Twitter being like, we didn't have the numbers.
They didn't. And even like, if Star had her vote, Kyle was not voting against that alliance. I just don't think it was happening. Maybe I'm wrong.
All right. Then you guys all lose $1 million and then everyone hates your season. Like, wait, it's tomato. What comes first? Tomatoes or tomatoes? Like, what comes first? Chalkins or eggs? Like, We're throwing tomatoes because you didn't do this, and you're gonna go, booze. Why are you throwing tomatoes? And you're like, because there's no room to throw flowers if you don't go after this dominant alliance.
Real Nicolas Cage. I love Gabler. Thank you for that, Real Nicolas. He has to be so far behind right now in this episode, but just had to throw that up there. I get what you're saying, but you know what? If you're Kyle, I don't think you're in a losing position right now. I don't. So you don't have to make the move. You don't have to play overly aggressive. You just need to make sure Camilla stays in the game.
Does Kyle get zero votes at Final Tribal?
No.
That's no where way. I think fine.
No way.
I think that's
because if Camilla's on the jury, she at least votes for him. So, unless we get a Sierra not voting for Sam or a Maria not voting for Charlie
situation. I bet Joe wins, Kyle gets second, and Shaheen or David gets third.
Wow. Wow. All right. I want to bring up two things real quick. And I know we're at 1:09. Blake has to go. He's a busy man. Yeah. Not Daryl Seymour. Where was it? This Matthew C. Did we get any clarity on the reward advantage controversy? So people were complaining about Eva getting the advantage. They were at seats with their nameplate, whatever. I think this is a stupid twist that you get an advantage but this was clearly designed for the winner of the challenge, because then they could go on to get this the night after Tribal Council. So this was always going to be, if it wasn't Eva, they're not rigging this for Eva. If David wins that, David gets it. And then David's getting bows and arrows shot at him, but that's fine. So like, I think it's, I'm curious what the twist is going to be. Did you guys mention what you thought the twist was going to be? I don't think you did.
I don't care. Unfortunately,
the podcast with that, we could end it.
If unfortunately, I think that's my frustration, is why are we giving advantages to somebody that won an immunity and having it be secretive? It's just, the game theory is, hey, you're in first place in Mario Kart and you're first place in lap four of Mario Kart. Here's a blue shell. Is insane.
Yeah.
You're supposed to get a coin or a banana. Nothing.
I can't wait till it's like, we will give you another hidden immunity idol if you vote out somebody's name whose name is a celestial body. Like, it's going to be like something super specific. Like,
there's,
or at least
there's one of the moons of Jupiter is named Mitch. So
let's Matthew C says it's the medallion of power. And then Hazel Soulful says, when you read the note, it says that. What? There's no way.
They're joking, Phil. One other thing that I want to joke.
Power's back.
I don't know if Mitch listens to this.
Mitch is absolutely listening. So you better, you know, if you're going to say something mean, say it now.
He went to A&M, you know. We can't expect him to work his way out of this.
That's why he's complacent, because he went to A&M. Yeah, that's what you're going with here.
That's what I'm going with.
You're gonna scream hook 'em so everybody understands at least, or you just don't care? Hey, you have Matthew McConaughey, who's the most famous person to go to A&M.
I don't think there is one.
Mitch. Mitch, which by the way, I have to say, Mitch had a custom Mitch Curry jersey that he was wearing at the event at Ron Clark. It's so good. I love that he has just leaned all in to Mitch Curry.
Dude, I didn't even know somebody called him that yet.
Yes, you did. Come on, dude. Don't hit me with the sarcasm this hard. The second thing I want to bring up, because people are asking me, what do you think about the Survivor 50 topics? Dude, I could not give less fucks. Like, I could not care less than I do.
Why? Look, that seems like it should be interesting, but who cares, right?
I sat there.
They're not going to do anything we care about.
Well, I sat there at the premiere event when Jeff pitched this. I remember coming on, you can go listen to my honest reaction. And I was like, no, this is good. Like, I like this. And I said, whatever we vote for, they are going to implement. Like, Jeff has no reason to rig this. And I'm right. I know I'm right. I'm always right, but I'm really right there. My thing is this. They're going to go with what we want because they're giving us stuff that they don't care about. Like, which immunity necklace do you want? Do you want the one that is the phoenix rising from the ashes, or the one that looks like a leftover prop from Game of Thrones? I'll take the phoenix rising from the ashes. Thanks. Do you want them to get camp supplies or no? Well, honestly, I don't know if they've gotten them or not for the last 8 seasons, because you guys don't focus on it at all. So I really don't care. And then the third one is like, do you want the game to have twists, because those are fun and everything about it is great and it's amazing and all this? Or do you want it to
not be a freaking bitch?
And it's like, yeah, it's like, what? Like, you're so, it's like, imagine if you went into a voting booth, and I'm not going to say real political people's names because then everybody will get mad. But imagine if you went into the voting booth and it was like, you can,
who's vote your favorite Blaine specialist, yeah, Phil, you've done for 10 years,
and he's going to,
or if we give you $45, you vote for Blake.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be like, if you walked in and it was like, there's no Democrat, there's no Republican. It just says Blake and Phil. And under Blake, it says sunshine, rainbows, everybody gets a puppy and a pony. And under Phil, it's like taxes go up, everybody dies, whatever. If that was on the ballot, you're obviously going to vote the other way. There's a reason that was outlawed in the 1700s in the United States of America. So stop putting your 2 cents in and let the people just pick what they want to pick. It's so obvious how you're trying to rig it. It's silly. Now, granted, I'm laughing about it because really this stuff is so silly. I was putting out videos for the first two. I'm not going to waste my breath on this one. This one was so bad. Obviously, I want some twists. I don't want them to play Survivor Australia or Borneo. Those are the only 2 seasons without twists.
Survivor Borneo again?
Same cast.
I I also, it is interesting that they're showing us a phoenix, because it's like, oh, is this going to be the whole, like, second it's chance. Rebirth? Is it like, okay, it's second no chances? Winners, does that mean no winners? Does that mean only five-time players that have lost five times? Andrea Boelke, welcome to the show.
I think it's just Boelke. I don't think the O is pronounced there.
Oh, I'm doing it wrong on purpose, probably. Oh. That's how much I respect.
Come on, man.
No, I love her. It's just something where you're
nice
like...
Nice person, bad survivor.
Yeah, there's some people I never need to see again, but what's going to happen for 50? Is it going to be amazing? But I think we all need to figure out, why do we watch Survivor? It's a fun week-to-week thing. Is everything going to go the most narratively perfect? No. But if you're going to be with a cast for 90 minutes in and out, I kind of need everybody's viewpoint. I kind of need some interesting things to happen. I kind of need more variables, not less. And I kind of need like really interesting people to watch. Yeah. And maybe there's a few boxes of those that aren't being checked currently. And maybe the people on Twitter have even more boxes to check that are just not even being addressed. And that's why maybe there's a little bit more negativity.
Yeah. Let's see. So what I don't understand about the 50 vote on this one is, I don't understand. So I'm doing it right now. I voted B. Hang on. Let's go. I want to vote B. I'm going to vote no to Tribe Supplies because I really don't care. And then for Twist, why wasn't there a third one? Like, keep the game straightforward. I like Twist. I don't like Twist. Keep them rare. I love Twist. Bring them on. Why wasn't there one that was like, I kind of like Twist. Give me some. Because that's what everybody would pick. Like, I don't want this. Like, we talk about it all the time. By the time you get to Gabon, there's 30 twists. It's just, I want unique, creative twists. I don't want the same twist we've seen over and over again. You think about Gabon, we talk about it all the time. The ranking of the players swap, one of the best twists in the game. We never saw it again. Why not? That's the type of twist. It's not that I don't want twists. I just don't want the same twists. So give me new twists. Where's that option? That's what I want to click.
I want somebody to go, I feel like a goat on AstroTurf, Jeff. I just don't know what's going on.
Oh, man. Anyway.
What is this Club Condo thing? Am I supposed to know what happened? I think I have missed no idea what one Club thing.
I just know that that's an RHAP podcast name. I don't know what it is in real life.
Damn.
Anyway.
Maybe they'll start saying the words digging deeper on the show, and it'll be shouting us out.
We're doing a great... Yeah, exactly. We're doing a great job. Ron Clark event was great. Got to meet...
How was Ron Clark?
Great. Ron Clark was having the time of his life. He fell getting up on the stage the first time. Nice. But he's having the time of his life. After that, he was very methodical about getting up there. It was great, though. It really was. He always puts on the best event. And this year, he was prepped. He knew he was going to have a lot of people. And he was prepped. There was so much more space and everything. It was great. Like, it really was. Got to see Johnny Fairplay, which is always a pleasure. Carolyn, I know she's not listening an hour and 17 minutes into this, but I got like 400 pictures with Carolyn, but they're all on her phone. So I need to hope that those get posted because that was great. Finally met Kyle for real. I have a picture with him too. Hopefully I posted sooner than I posted the Say one. I just have to actually remember to do that. But it was great. I met Philip from Deal or No Deal Island. He flipped you off and said, and here you go. This one's for Blake. So that was nice. But it was a lot of fun. And I'm telling you, like, this cast, like, they're getting along, from what I can tell, which is not always the case. And that makes it fun. And I think that's why it's also kind of sad how negative the community is. The Survivor Twitter community.
They're getting along on the show. Why would they not get along after the show?
Well, I'm just saying there's so many. I mean, are you kidding? Say and Charity are talking about how they're best buddies now. It's like they didn't get along on the show. So I just think that, you know, it's a shame that there's been so much negativity around it, because I think they're all genuinely enjoying the ride that they're on. So my recommendation is just turn off Twitter, because I'll be honest, I saw some people at the event who have some Twitter stuff, who have talked a big game since the event, but at the event they were like, oh my God, it's you. Like, I mean, that's kind of funny to me being the phone.
Literally how all that works, of the biggest person who's like, yeah, oh, I hate this guy.
I mean, like, so bad, help me.
Would be like, Joe.
Yeah. The only person
expect to see you at Disneyland.
Yeah. No, it's like the only person I absolutely hated is, oh, it froze. Shit.
No, I can hear you say it.
Yeah, you want to say it again? One more time. The only person I
hated is...
Yeah, it was so fun. It was really fun. And yeah, if you get a chance to go to those, go next year. It's worth it. Ron's the best. And that's what I got.
Is he ever going to do it in LA?
No, he does it at his... Oh, dude, I thought you didn't know where he does it because you're you. Anyway, and David wore a got chocolate milk shirt. And Thomas Crottinger was screaming, take it off, when he came walking out. And then everybody started chanting, take it off. So then he took off his shirt. And I was like, holy shit, there's David just swinging a shirt.
And then they booed him an hour later on the show. Yeah.
Nobody really booed him. That's the funny thing. Like, but that's the funny thing is you go to these events and there's such like a camaraderie community kind of thing. And then you
it
get over.
It reminds me of the camaraderie like, we have here. You know,
I hate your face. You suck. It's like, just stop.
You meet Ozzy. I met Ozzy like once.
We met Ozzy at that 10 years
pop,
ago.
Pop Fest.
Yeah, Pop Fest. I met Ozzy a while ago.
It is fucking crazy. Sorry for the F word in minute 120. We've been watching Survivor a long ass time.
Yeah, I've been podcasting it now for 18 full seasons.
That's 9 years. Literally because of COVID too.
Yeah, I've almost done a full, like I've almost done half the show at this point.
Bring back Ty for 50. All right. Hands in, everybody. Great job today.
Yeah. So like this video, subscribe to the channel. If you have nothing nice to say, don't leave a comment. I don't like your comments when they're nasty. Blake yelled at me. I left like a nasty comment back. He's like, you have to delete that. I'm like, fine. Blake of all people. But it's just like, you're coming on here. It's like, if you listen to us all the time, you can have your critiques, but like constructive criticism, please. God, there were nasty ones on the Ron Clark one too. Like, I don't want you in the comments. Stupid. If you're going to insult Blake, that's the place to do it, but don't come at me. Anyway, patreon.com/specialist. We are finishing up Gabon on Monday, and then we are jumping into Token Chains. We're doing a marathon podcast about Token Chains tomorrow.
Jesus.
So we'll be doing all that. I'm live at 5 p.m. tomorrow night with Todd Herzog. It is tomorrow since Easter is Sunday. Todd and I will be live tomorrow, 5 p.m. Wonky week here. And then I have a good guest for next Sunday that I'm really excited about too. A very recent one. And that's going to be at 1 p.m. next Sunday. So exciting times ahead. But become a patron. We're diving into, I'll be doing my after show today, putting that out there where I'll really give a little bit more behind the scenes and all that fun stuff from the event. And yeah, otherwise, thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. It'd probably be hard not to, even though Blake didn't have any pictures this time. Just saying. All right. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.